Right.
What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast, episode 28. Glad to have you on board. See what I did there? Aaron. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton. It's Aaron Goins.
Wait, what is that in reference to?
It's where we have them on board.
On board.
On board the podcast.
I didn't know if that was like you're trying to reference like the Jungle Cruise. Like,
Maybe a little bit.
Because our podcast is like supposed to be set in a bar, right?
Yeah, or, that's true. That's a fair point.
You don't really go on board.
Yeah.
To a
yeah.
No. Legend has it there is a tree in the Amazon that possesses unparalleled healing powers, and the arrowhead is the key to unlocking it.
Stop her!
Hello. Just wanted you to know this has been mislabeled. Shipping out, lads?
Of all the jungle cruises you could take in the Amazon, this one is undoubtedly the cheapest. But also the most thrilling. Heads up, coming through. Look out! Marauders. Natives. Ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for. The backside of water. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
We're headed upriver to Lagrimas de Cristal. We must secure our travel. Come on. Hello?
Not a good time.
My brother and I are looking for passage upriver.
Please go away.
I have a lot of money.
If you believe in legends, you should believe in curses, too. You're going to beg me to turn back.
Well, I look forward to disappointing you.
10,000 to bring you there alive. Dead is 15,000.
Why should I pay more dead?
Dead, I'd have to carry you. Dead's a lot harder, lady. Here we go.
Oh, God, sorry, Frank.
Sorry, strong form.
Swim.
You booked a river cruise and you can't swim? The price just went up.
Yeah! The mess is real.
Snakes. Why'd it have to be? What do you think, man?
That just revealed something to me, Riley.
Hmm?
Because I've only seen that trailer, like I watched it online, but now I'm only hearing the audio.
Oh, okay.
And that's Maui. Like, he's just doing Maui.
Is he?
If you just listen to it without watching it, like, I only could hear Maui the whole time.
All right, let me
inflection, the way he was delivering his lines.
My brother and I are looking for passage upriver.
Please go away.
I have a lot of money.
Please go away. You know,
It's funny because now Disney's got some of these actors that they're reusing in projects like pretty soon after. Like, you know, now we have The Rock, who was at Maui, and Emily Blunt, who was Mary Poppins. And so it's kind of hard to distance them from those other roles when you see them in these new roles.
Yeah, it's funny because they're leaning on the primary two actors. They've done a good number of Disney films, although Dwayne Johnson hadn't done as many Disney films as I remembered. He did like way back, the first one he ever did was Game Plan, which was a really cute movie where he plays a football player, so it probably wasn't that challenging. Race to Witch Mountain, I remember that, and then Moana. Ooh,
that was one of their bombs.
Yeah.
So this movie, It's got, because he's recently been in a couple movies that are similar, but they're not Disney movies.
Yes.
You like could the say Journey that. To the Center of the Earth movie, I think.
Yep. Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Similar vibe. And then what's the one? Jumanji.
Jumanji, of course.
Yeah. So he kind of has, it's a bit of a typecast for this role, but it's not a Disney, you know, these are other roles that weren't Disney movies, but he's played similar, you know, in similar movies for sure.
I want to say there are other jungle movies too that I'm not thinking of, because he's,
those are the two that jump out to me.
Yeah.
And definitely this trailer's got some, you know, it actually made me think of like the old Mummy movies with Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some of that vibe, you know, adventure, but also like kind of slapstick comedy. And then it actually kind of reminded me of Pirates of the Caribbean a bit.
For sure. And not just because of the parallel that it was a ride becoming a movie, but the whole kind of, it's the conceit of the ride, like he's a, you know, captain of a jungle cruise, but also like they give there's a deeper spiritual villainous undertone subplot going
and
on,
like the magical element to it, you know, there's obviously going to be something. This doesn't look like a straight up adventure where they're just going into the jungle. It looks like there's some kind of like magical element that's going to be involved as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because you go to Dwayne Johnson, because he's right now, he's the sort of it actor who is going, he's going to guarantee a certain level of box office. Unless it's Race to Witch Mountain, as you discussed. but here pretty recently, he's been pretty reliable. I mean, so is Emily Blunt. Like, her list of films for Disney is Muppets Into the Woods and Mary Poppins Returns. And so she's kind of become Disney royalty in and of herself.
Yeah, and they're both at the top of their game right now. So I think just on the star power alone,
yeah,
this movie should make some money. You know, as far as how critically acclaimed it is, to be seen.
Have you ever seen The African Queen? Is it old 1951 Humphrey Bogart film?
I'm aware of what the movie is, but I haven't seen it.
See, I haven't either, and I'm the kind of person who would. I just literally rewatched with my fiance Casablanca. She had never seen it before, so it was interesting. That was kind of top of mind when I was looking up some stuff about Jungle Book and how. Jungle Book, Jungle Cruise. Whoops. But it was the original ride was actually inspired by that film a bit, which is, and of course, The African Queen evidently is one of those sort of early Hollywood adventure films that inspired Indiana Jones. So you kind of get a lot of those adventure vibes. Actually, Dwayne Johnson, who has, and I think this is half the reason you hire him to play a role in a movie, is because he'll promote your movie on his Instagram.
Right.
So like he's been very profuse in his praise of the writers and the director who haven't really done anything that notable that like I'm a huge fan of. Certainly some credits that I recognize, nothing that jumped out enough to like stick to me off the top of my head, but specifically he called Emily Blunt sort of the like amazing in this movie and sort of the female Indiana Jones. And I wonder if that's just him kind of playing his role of the, that's kind of his thing to be like the nice guy. Or if maybe this movie is going to have more of a Lara Croft, Indiana Jones role for Emily Blunt's character, Lily is who she plays.
Right. Yeah. I think that this, sometimes I'll see a movie purely for the people that are in it and not necessarily the premise.
Yeah.
And I think this movie, kind of based on the trailer and the faces that I saw pop up, including these two, is definitely one where I'm like, okay, this looks like a fun movie just because I like the people involved.
Yeah. It does kind of look like a Race to Witch Mountain, though, a little bit, if I'm honest.
As far as like potential for flop?
As far as for potential to be forgettable. I think it's going to do okay at the box office regardless, but I don't think it's going to be the launch of the next Pirates of the Caribbean, or even like the biggest hit of the year for him.
Yeah, we'll see. I think The Rock has much more star power now than he did when that movie came out.
That is true.
So I think even just him being in it and it being a Disney movie based on a popular ride.
Well,
and there's some other big names that pop up in it too. So I think I think this one will have a little bit more legs than mm-hmm. Race to Witch Mountain did.
Well, yeah, hopefully. I would hope it would, but I guess we'll see. I'm definitely interested in it. I don't think it's definitely not in one of the Disney films I'm most excited about next year, but I think it does have a lot of potential. And if nothing else, Disney's been patient with it. Like, this is a film they've had in the works one version or another since like 2006. Like, Tom Hanks and Tim Allen were originally slated to star in it. That little Toy Story reunion there in 2011 when they were working on a completely different iteration of it. And now they've kind of completely overdone it and written it and rewritten it. And evidently there's been several versions of the script. So it does seem like the kind of thing they're being thorough with.
And it seems like they're staying pretty true to the spirit of the ride, too. So if you're a fan of the ride, like that's one of my favorite rides to do at Disney at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
So there were a couple little nods to some of the jokes that you'll hear, you know, when you're on that ride.
Yeah.
And in the way that the boat looks a lot like kind of a souped up version of the ride craft and stuff. So I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
From that perspective, too.
I love the beat up tugboat look. That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
I hope it's like its own character, kind of like the movie's Millennium Falcon. That'd be fun. Hey, Aaron, our long national nightmare is at an end.
What's that?
The Disney Skyliner gondola transportation system has returned to service this week. Whew.
Do you believe that? I couldn't believe it when I saw the news.
I was not expecting it this quickly, which since the last podcast, it's been almost a month, which means that we've had an entire fiasco of everyone being excited and all the press of the Disney YouTubers, like I follow them, all doing their like little tours of the experience and how amazing it is, and it feels like air conditioning. I don't believe them, by the way, but that's like every little like YouTube video I was saying is like, wow, it feels really cool. Like, this is a placebo effect, people. but then, of course, within what, a week, days really, right, of it opening, they had what the Disney press release said was an incident.
Yeah, they had an incident. It's like what everyone is afraid of happening when you're on a ride, when you're on like that type of a transportation system. Mm. It's kind of like when you're in an elevator. Elevators are great until you get trapped in one, you know. And it's kind of the same idea here. And I've actually heard people say, oh, I don't want to take the gondolas. You know, what if I get stuck in it?
Yeah.
And then it happened. You know, they actually, you know, froze. And they had I was watching some of the videos and stuff that people were posting of like the things kind of bumping into each other. And then the ones that were stuck up in the air and they had to take cranes and stuff. And you're like, wow, you would expect in any transportation system, you're going to have something like that happen eventually, right? I mean, it's happened with the monorail, but not this soon. You know, after all this big marketing push they've had for it, and it's going to be this new great transportation system to get you around Disney, and then this soon after it happening, that's not a good look.
No, it was 7 days. Yes, yeah, it had been operating for 1 week on the dot when it left. Evidently, several hundred people stranded on the system for hours. And they employed the local fire department to get people out of there over time. And they still actually haven't said what caused the shutdown or commented on any of the, like, you're talking about the social media and stuff that's been going around. They've been kind of hands-off other than sort of – here's the quote on their official blog. Quote, following a complete review with the manufacturer, we've made adjustments to our processes and training – and we are improving how we communicate with guests during their flight with Disney Skyliner. Okay, well, like, that's...
Yeah, it's a safe answer. They don't give any details about what happened, what went wrong. Nobody was injured. That's always a great thing. And I think Disney's smart in a way because they're kind of making it not a big deal, which is making everybody else kind of make it not a big deal. And then it'll blow over. People are going to still use it. I'm sure now that it's back running, people are using it. It's not like people aren't going to use it. And, you know, people will forget that this happened and it's not going to be – it's not like it's going to like suddenly ticket sales are going to plummet, you know, anything like that. It's just a blip on the news And yeah. It'll go away.
Yeah, this little piece that we'll have the link in the show notes from the Orlando Sentinel highlights. Christy Kate said she and her family watched the Skyliner in action for about 15 minutes from the ground at Disney's Pop Century Resort. Quote, "We were hesitant to jump on, but after watching it for a while, we decided we'd go."
Exactly. And I mean, we're going to be there in a couple weeks. Are you going to jump on one of these?
Of course I'm going to get right on one of these things.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I got a dinner reservation at Caribbean Beach. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hop on there from Hollywood Studios, and yeah, it's not changing my plans.
Nice. I like it. I like it. Awesome, man. Well, let's see what other news we have. We've had a little bit of, I guess Disney Plus, we have a couple things, but actually I want to jump, you mentioned it, so I want to jump straight there. Let's talk about it. The upcoming Disney trip, Wine and Dine Half Marathon. We're right in the midst of training. Talk to you for a second before the show started. And how's training going? I'm asking you right here. Be straight up. Be honest. This will be your third, fourth, right?
This will be my fourth official, Disney half marathon. I did one of the virtual ones.
Can I pause for just for a half second and just like take a little bit of like friendship credit with like convincing late 30s Aaron Goins to run a half marathon when he'd never run anything more than a 5K. And here we are sitting and you're about to run your fourth half marathon.
Yeah, definitely.
But maybe your last. Yeah, I was going to say your last half marathon.
Yeah, I mean, you ran the first one with me. Me, you, and John ran that first one together. Mm. And you saw all three of us, you know, by the end of it, we were all injured.
Yeah. No,
I was on crutches at one point.
It was bad. Really bad. I've got better running habits and self-care since then. I had kind of learned the hard way on some of that long-distance running.
Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, my body took a toll that first time. I actually had to, I had some major issues with my left knee. I had to go through physical therapy to kind of get back up to it. But my goal with the physical therapy is I wanted to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we did another one and we've done three now. And yeah, so we're about to do our fourth. But I do think this will probably be my last just because, you know, my body's, you know, it definitely takes a toll on the knees and I'm not a super young man anymore, and my knees had already had enough going on because of sports injuries and stuff. Mm. So this will probably be my last. I say that now, but we'll see.
Well, and you do have to kind of be able to listen to your body. So like I'm training now, but I'm training a lot slower because I didn't do as much running and I'm not training for time. I've totally changed my running plan because I don't, now I'm on shift work with the Air Force job. So it's just like not practical to do as much training as I did on the first two. And so because of that, keep getting my time down is kind of a no-go. Plus, it's me and Savannah. We're going to run it together. So we're not really running it for time this time, which has actually helped. I just completed the 11-mile. We have one more, a 12-mile training run next weekend. That's the last long run before it. So it's basically, it's almost here, man. But I think it'll be fun, and it's the kind of thing where there's always the 10K. Like I like these Run Disney events because I do enjoy running and I do enjoy the distance training and stuff. But the reason I don't run other half marathons is because I like the event of a bunch of friends gathering and going down to Disney, and that's why I particularly like the Wine and Dine. So yeah, there's always the 10K. I think that's kind of where Savannah's, because this is Savannah's first half marathon, and she's been an absolute trooper because she is also a very busy person with Air Force responsibilities that make it difficult, because her unit does PT three times a week, so she has to do her training on top of that, has done amazing. But it's like these are long distances. We'll see. She's in the sort of we'll see phase, so yeah, we'll do the race, kind of see where she is.
That's the good thing about the Disney races and these Run Disney events,
mm-hmm.
is you can take it as seriously as you want to.
Yeah.
You know, really there's such a varied type of person that does these events. You do have the people that go down there and they're looking to set a time, you know, and beat their best and all that. And and finish in the top 100 or whatever. And then you have people that are like kind of more like me that are kind of somewhere in the middle, somewhat competitive, but just kind of want to complete the race and say you did it. And then you have people down there that literally are just there to take pictures with the characters as they're going through the parks and kind of do it really slow. So, and honestly, I could do another one, but I will probably kind of become that type of a runner where it's like, okay, I'm just here just to do the event and kind of be a part of it, but really set like the lowest time you can set, you know, and still get the medal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this will be the last one where I'm actually trying to do, you know, a halfway decent time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun gathering of folks. They sent out their sort of official email. The tickets started mailing out this week. I don't know. I haven't got mine yet, but hopefully.
For the party.
Yeah, for the party. It's going to be a good time. And they've actually released, this is a fun little update since we're talking about it, they released all the official merchandise that's going to be going along. And I just figured I would toss in a link and see if there's anything here, Aaron, that jumped out to you particularly. I know there's a few things for me.
Yeah, I haven't looked at these yet.
Okay, I'll kick us off then, because I... Yeah.
Where did you toss the link?
Oh, sorry. It's in the notes right under Wind Down Update. Cool. Yeah, it's... and we'll have the link in the show notes for you guys listening to. WDW News Today has pictures of all this stuff, which is pretty cool. But they, of course, have your pretty standard fare, the shirts, which I like the shirts. I like the tanks are pretty cool.
Oh, I like that long sleeve... the two-course challenge one's kind of cool.
Yeah.
A long sleeve hoodie.
I'm going to definitely get the 13.1 pin with Mickey. That'll be fun. Because this is also kind of an event because it's the 10th anniversary of the Wine
and
Dine.
It is the 10th anniversary of this race. So, and this will be – have you run – did you run this race
2 years
twice
ago.
Before or just once before?
Just the one time, yeah.
Okay. So this will be your second time with this specific race. It'll be my third. So yeah, I didn't know it was the 10th anniversary until I had seen that recently. I wonder what the shirts, because we get with the whole package when you do this, you get a free shirt to wear when you run if you want.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that dry fit type material, and I'm curious to see what those look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I think I'm a big fan of them.
I usually wear mine during the race as long as it's not some hideous color.
I still have, yeah, the Star Wars gray one I don't like. I still have the orange Wine and Dine from 2 years ago that I liked a lot. That was pretty
cool. So you're way more flashy than me. That completely, like, describes our differences in personality. you like the bright, big, bright orange one, which I would never wear, and then I love the gray because it's nice and subtle.
Depressing. they have their own fancy drinkware, like a Yeti-style mug. Oh, they have a wine glass kind of thing that's kind of cool.
I have to say, I really like the iconography they're using this year, and specifically the kind of Mickey in that colonial garb.
Yeah.
That's in a lot of the merchandise. And he's also on the medal that we'll get.
What am I missing? Why is that? It's not like 4th of July.
They're kind of looking at the different areas of Epcot. So you have that area of Epcot that's supposed to represent America. And so I think he's representing that. But then you have Olaf, who's kind of representing the Frozen stuff. And then you have the three Caballeros that are representing Mexico. So it's kind of like that around the world idea. So, and then you'll notice all of them have some sort of food. So that's the whole Wine and Dine idea. So Mickey's got the basket of apples. And, I love it. I'm a big fan of like the colonial era of the U.S. and like the 1700s and stuff. So it kind of fits in with my vibe already.
You live in the right place for it. I just saw you posting pictures of, where was it in Philly you were just at?
I was at Independence Hall and Carpenter's Hall, right in historic Philadelphia over the weekend.
Nice. I'm going to make it up there at some point. Hey man, we're less than a month from Disney Plus.
Oh, Disney Plus is coming.
It is coming in hot. I still haven't ordered it.
And Disney let us know all about it. Literally all about it.
They sure did.
For anyone that's on Twitter, like, we got a barrage. I couldn't believe it when what was happening.
Did you see this as it unfolded?
Yeah, I was like, you couldn't help it if you were on Twitter that day and you follow Disney. I think it was the Disney Plus account actually that was doing it.
Okay.
Which I was following.
All right, so walk us through, if for those of us not on the, aka yours truly, not on Twitter all the time, what exactly was this marketing stunt they pulled off?
So they just started, they sent out an initial tweet, and I don't have it up or anything to read it verbatim, but they sent out this initial tweet that was kind of like, hey, Disney Plus is coming. And then they said something like, this is everything you can watch. And they literally went and started to tweet one individual tweet for every single thing that's going to be on Disney Plus.
In like a thread?
In order of release date, original release date. So it started back in like the 1950s, I think, and then kind of went on. So you're getting stuff like popping up like Treasure Island and Swiss Family Robinson and, you know, all the classic stuff. And it just kept going and going and going until it got up to like Mandalorian and all the stuff that's coming that's new. But it was hundreds of tweets. And all day, it's just one after the other. So if you follow that account, your feed was just full of it. But the cool thing is, at least for me, because I know some people, if you're not that into it or you're just following Disney Plus out of curiosity, and then suddenly you're just getting spammed with this, some people probably found it annoying. But for me, it was like a discovery of things I had forgotten about. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, I forgot that was a Disney thing. Oh, that's cool. Like Davy Crockett? Like, oh, yeah, I remember those movies. You know, so it was... as things were popping up and you saw other people kind of the same thing, people would retweet their favorite things or like, oh, I'm excited about this one, or oh, I remember this from when I was a kid. So it kind of became this whole community thing where, you know, everyone's kind of jumping in and reminiscing about all the things that they're excited about that are going to be available that they haven't been able to watch because it hasn't been available anywhere.
Yeah. Well, and it's just kind of a brilliant idea to highlight the stuff that's not been talked about as much, because I feel like there's already a lot of buzz around The Mandalorian and the Marvel series, and they just put out the new trailer, we haven't talked about it, for Lady and the Tramp. Not as good as the first trailer. I didn't throw it in the notes. But yeah, there's already the stuff, the new stuff everyone's talking about, but it's a great way to highlight the nostalgia.
And the thing is, the awesome thing about it was they could have just tweeted out kind of the A-list stuff,
yeah,
or the stuff that they know people are going to get really excited for. They tweeted out everything. So even they did the bottom of the barrel stuff that like most people weren't excited for, or like something that were like, oh man, I wish I had forgotten about this, some old Disney Channel show that just only lasted one season, you know, it was all there. And so, the cool thing was even some of the more obscure stuff, there was always someone who was a fan of it. Somebody was excited about it, you know.
Jeez, I'm scrolling through this now. They did like dedicated, you know, and as a person who's done plenty of work on social media as a podcaster all these years, you have different sort of standard image size and dimensions for different social media platforms. And they literally did a dedicated Twitter graphic for every single one of these.
Yeah, pre-prepared, you could tell. And it was all kind of in the same style. It was like a big image with the title, you know, transposed over top of the image, you know, and everything was kind of in the similar style. So this wasn't something where they went into the archive and just grabbed stuff. They prepared these images every single thing.
All right, I want to live this since I wasn't there. Pardon me while I scroll through. I'm looking through it right now. I also tossed you the link in our chat. Ooh, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
See, you're getting that experience where you're gonna get this moment of where you're like, oh, ooh, I forgot about that, or oh yeah, like that's what people were doing that entire day, and it was kind of distracting. Like if you're at work, you know, you're kind of like, oh, you know, I gotta.
Yeah. It's like Davy Crockett and the River Rats.
Oh yeah.
Mike Fink. I hated Mike Fink growing up.
I grew up on those movies. There were certain movies, even though obviously those movies were made in the, what, they were made in the 1950s?
Yeah, 56. 56.
So obviously that's before either of our times. I'm not that old.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee. yeah, because this is like the stuff that my grandmother would tape off of the Family Channel and then like give to us when our family moved overseas and was on some of the taped off of TV tapes that we had, like the handful of Disney movies I would watch over and over again as a kid.
Well, they used to do these specials back when I was a kid, and I think it was like Sunday Night Wide World of Disney or something like that it was called. And yeah, the same thing. My parents would tape them, and so the Davy Crockett movies were some of those things. And so, yeah, I probably watched those Davy Crockett movies 20 or 30 times each when I was young. So, yeah, I kind of memorized the song and the different characters. And the Alamo episode was really cool.
Are you ready for a throwback here while we're reminiscing? We loved, and I mean loved, the old Disney Zorro serials. Because that's what they were. They were produced, as I understand, like the spinoffs, not the main one. Were produced as television serials way back in the 50s and 60s. And I loved those things, but my dad got them because he, back in the day, Blockbuster was competing with Netflix and introduced their own mailing service where you could, you know, order ahead of time and they would mail the DVD or VHS, I think it was back. I don't remember how old this was, to Blockbuster. Mm-hmm. And then my dad would go pick it up in the store and bring it back, and that's how we watched all of the old Zorro movies as kids.
Oh, absolutely. Those were also on our rotation.
No way. Zorro. We have a lot of overlap for like really old classic Disney stuff.
That's probably where our most overlap would be, kind of growing up with that classic Disney.
Very, very traditional American conservative family households. So I didn't realize we have this cultural overlap. I never was no wonder we became friends. We never even knew this, but
oh man, now you got me scrolling through. It's like old Yeller, man. You can't watch that movie without crying.
Yeah.
It was just fun to kind of discover things and like some of the cartoons I used to watch as a kid, you know, when they did those afternoon specials like, you know, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers or Tailspin or Darkwing Duck, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zorro, 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 Zorro. All right. Dude, all right. This reminiscing train could literally go on for hours. So I'm going to have to cut it off. I'm cutting it off, man. That's another episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast in the can. We're not going to wait as long before the next episode. We got at least another couple episodes in us before the end of the year.
Definitely. Frozen's coming up. Frozen 2's coming up, so we'll definitely have to talk about that. The new trailer for that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, Disney Plus, all of that stuff. We'll probably have to do like a dedicated Disney Plus, the official Mouse and Castle Disney Plus guide of like our favorite. Especially going through and see some of this obscure stuff. We could pick out some of the less known classics, maybe even these ones that we watched as kids, and make a list of the lesser known Disney films. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the hidden gems that we're recommending. And we'll definitely be pulling some of the new stuff that they're putting out there too. Like obviously Lady and the Tramp, I think would be a good thing to talk about.
Oh yeah.
You know, kind of our reaction to that. But there's going to be so much content. I'm sure there's another podcast out there that's going to cover all the Disney Plus content. We're not that podcast, but we will pick and choose some of the more premier stuff that they put out and talk about it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, stay in touch with us in between shows. Great way to do that is via the Mouse and Castle newsletter. Go to bit.ly/mouseandcastle. We haven't had a newsletter in the last couple of weeks, which means one's overdue. And I'll be doing one this weekend. So make sure you subscribe. It's the sort of in-between shows edition of me and Aaron commenting on some of the latest and greatest in the world of Disney. And keeps you up to date with all the episode releases as well. Very easy. bit.ly/mouseandcastle. Mouseandcastlepodcast.com. That's where you can get the notes for the episode. Just look for episode 28 there on mouseandcastle.com. And that is also where you can get links to all of our social media, including Instagram, just Mouse and Castle, Twitter, at Mouse and Castle. And you can email us directly at mouseandcastlepodcast@gmail.com. Aaron, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter. If you can find me through the fog of Disney Plus tweets,
yes.
At AV Goins.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And Instagram. Same handle, AV Goins.
Sure.
And of course, I always do this, mouseandcastle@gmail.com. That's what I said podcast. Yeah. Just mouseandcastle@gmail.com. Email us. And you can find me on the internet at TheRileyGuy. Instagram's the best place to keep in touch. with me these days, but I'm also on Twitter here and there. And until next time, may the magic of Disney bring you the Tree of Life. I don't know. It's like a, it's kind of references. It's a tree of, and you notice that the Tree of Life, I didn't even talk about it. The Tree of Life is the sort of MacGuffin for Jungle Cruise, which is funny because Animal Kingdom, right? It's kind of interesting. Maybe a little bit. And that's a show, sir.
I guess they couldn't do Fountain of Youth since they already did that in Pirates.
That is taken.
Yeah.
Already by themselves. just over half an hour, sir.